Lake Effect continues on WUWM. There is a saying about death and one's possessions that goes, you can't take it with you. Well, that also applies to less tangible valuables like your memories and stories. But what if you could pass along all the wisdom you've learned over the years? Shorewood-based reporter Leah Dobkin believes in the rush of an increasingly fast-paced world, it's harder to pass this kind of information between the generations. So she's started a new project to help people of all ages to compose legacy letters for their loved ones. In these so-called ethical wills, Dobkin interviews each person to help them sort through their memories and decide what wisdom to pass along. Then she helps them compose the letter, which can range from one paragraph to 10 pages long and can be recorded and videotaped. Dobkin tells Lake Effect Stephanie Lecce the background behind legacy letters.
Well, it came to me in a dream, actually. The term legacy letters and the idea of it, when I woke up, I said, I have to do this. And what happened was I contacted my editor, and she said, oh, Leah, legacy letters have been around a long time. And I said, really? I just thought of the idea myself. She said, did you Google it? And no, and that's really embarrassing for a reporter not to Google something, but I really thought it was an original thought, and it turned out to be 3,000 years old. It was back to biblical times. It was some of that Jewish tradition, and to make matters worse, I'm Jewish, and I didn't know about it either. So, you know, it started in biblical times, and Jacob in his deathbed brought over his 12 sons to pass on an ethical will in what he thought how they should live their lives. He ignored his daughter, Dina. And so historically, legacy letters and ethical wills have been very patriarchal. In medieval times, it was the father's obligation to write an ethical will and attach it to his will and to share it with his sons. And in more recent times, what's opened up is that women are finding a voice and are doing this as well as men, and they're not waiting to link this just to their will, but they're linking it to their lives and sharing with people when they're alive, not waiting till they die. Not necessarily, you can make a decision whether you want to hold on to it and let it be read after your death or read it before, but you have so many choices now. Where it started out as such a rigid concept, it's so flexible now, and it does complement a will very nicely, because a will talks about your valuables and passing on your valuables, but a legacy will or a legacy letter talks about passing on your values, not just your valuables. And what you earn can be just as important as what you learn. And so passing that on and complementing a will with your valuables and your values together can be a very, very powerful task to do and a fun task.
I would also imagine that to sit down and write one of these letters, especially with the significance of what the letter represents, it'd be hard to get going.
It can be intimidating. There's ways of doing it to make it more comfortable, but you do have to think, spend some quiet time thinking about, you know, looking at your life and what was important in your life and what you want to pass on, and looking at the memories and what they meant. And so it can be hard because, in essence, you have happy memories, but you also have sad memories and some of the struggles in your life. And actually, that's the best content for a legacy letter, is to actually harvest the lessons that you learned from your struggles so you can create almost like a roadmap for your children and grandchildren so they don't have to, you know, face the same kinds of problems, or that they have the skills or knowledge to how to face these problems. Your wisdom is important, and I don't think we value people's wisdom as much as we did in the years ago.
Now, tell me about your involvement in the process. You kind of keep your reporter cap on a little bit in the sense that you conduct interviews to help draw some of this out?
Well, that's true. Actually, there's a variety of options. One option is that I put my reporter hat on and I interview people with a digital recorder, and I help them scope out what they want to cover, you know, who they want the letter to go to. It could be, the letter can go to a whole family, or it can go to just one person, or it can be a generic letter to the family and then an individual letter to each child, for example, or grandchild. And so I help them figure out, you know, the scope of the letter, who they want it to, what's the purpose of it, what the content, help them stretch out an outline. And then based on the outline, I'll create questions sort of prompts to help them think through the answers to some of the areas they wanted to address in the letter. It's all recorded, and from the recording, I will draft a letter and in the voice of that person. And they edit the letter, and they say, oh, pull this out, or can you put this in, and to it's the point where they feel wonderful about it, and then they can share it with their family. There's many ways to share it, too. I mean, you could share it through a digital recording. You could share it through a letter, or some people even do elaborate books with photographs and recipes and other heirlooms that they include. So it's there's a lot of variety. And so my job is to find out, you know, what kind of legacy letter a person wants to write and help them do that. But in addition to that, some people don't feel comfortable writing or don't have the time to write, and they would like a professional writer to help ghostwrite their legacy letter. But some people do feel comfortable. And so recently I've been conducting workshops and presentations and sort of writing circles to help people actually write their own legacy letter. And so there's a whole spectrum of services that you can offer to help make sure that almost everyone in America does a legacy letter. I mean, you don't have to be middle-aged and older. I mean, right now, every day, about 75,000 people a day turn 65. Happy birthday to any of you out there who are 65 today. And so that means that there's more people who are sort of thinking about these issues. However, there's young, soon-to-be parents who write a letter to their children, or someone who's about to get married, or different developmental steps in a person's life. They may think, oh, this is a good time to write a letter either and share it or save it.
What are some of the obstacles that you've come across while helping people through this process of writing a legacy letter?
Well, there's a number of obstacles. This is a fun process, but it's also a difficult process. And I think, you know, one obstacle is just facing your own mortality. I mean, everybody wants to feel that they're going to be remembered in their life, and this is a vehicle to help you feel that. But dealing with the fact that there's some day that you're not going to be here and other people are going to remain is painful. I remember just recently I was talking to my grandmother, who's 96. She was in hospice, and she said, if I die. She just said a sentence, if I die. And I thought, okay, that's interesting, you know. And so even her at 96 was having some difficulty with that. So I think that the whole issue of dealing with your mortality, and especially in contemporary times, it's like death is an issue, a taboo. We don't really deal with it. It's sort of isolated from our daily lives. And so it's a healthy thing to do. And life is death, and death is life, and it's the same side of the coin. And yet people have a real difficult time with that. The other issue is, as I mentioned, conjuring up, you know, bad memories, which are wonderful content to learn from them. But some people are sort of nervous about coming up with, you know, thoughts from the past that may be painful. Or they feel like they don't want to write something that would hurt someone's feelings. And so it's really important to emphasize that a legacy letter is a positive, loving letter. And so what you write in there is to be helpful, not hurtful. And so that's part of my job, is to help people deal with what they've learned in their life and translate it and, in essence, harvest their wisdom so it's a positive letter for somebody. But some people get nervous about, oh, and they may write something that would hurt someone's feelings. And there's ways of dealing with that. Other concerns that people have is just they don't have enough time. They feel that they might be boring. They're not a good writer. You know, everybody has a story. Everybody has developed wisdom in their life that's important to share with others, and yet they feel self-conscious. Some people feel self-conscious about writing a legacy letter like they're too big of an ego or something. The point is, with legacy letters, it's a gift to your family that they will cherish above any other gift that you can possibly give them. And it's a gift to yourself, too, because when you I've recently finished my legacy letter, and you get such a sense of peace when you do that, and satisfaction. But at the same time, people feel like, well, maybe nobody wants to hear my story, or everybody makes fun that I reminisce. And reminiscing actually is an important process that we all need to go through. It's a very healing process, too. And sometimes people make fun of people who remember the past. The question is, can we harvest that information and make it work for people in the future?
What have been some of the reactions to the legacy letters you've helped prepare?
Well, I think the main is that how profound the experience is, that people feel that they want to make a difference in their life and they do want to be remembered. and they want to make stronger connections with their children and their grandchildren and other loved ones. And everybody is so busy that to actually pull time away from your busy life and their busy life and do this and complete it and then share it with others, it turns out to be very healing. It's also very powerful for people because they are the conduit of the lessons they learned from their ancestors and stories that they learned from their ancestors. And then they share it with their children and grandchildren. But it doesn't stop there because their children and grandchildren can share it with their children and grandchildren. And so actually you're the conduit of someone's ancestors to someone's descendants. And that's a very powerful feeling. So when you complete that, you have a sense that you're doing something very, very important.
One of the interesting things that I saw as I was reading through your website is the information about the health benefits of creating these kinds of letters.
That's so true. When someone writes a legacy letter, there are studies that just the process of writing and reminiscing can improve life satisfaction, your memory, reduce depression and anxiety. Even studies have shown that if you have arthritis, it improves your symptoms, reduce, so you physically feel healthier as a result of doing this. So really is a wonderful example of sort of mind-body connection of how you can become healthier just by putting pen to paper and reminiscing.
Let me ask you, what do you get out of helping people to create these legacy letters?
Well, what I get is for the last 30 years, I worked in the field of aging. And I just, since I was little, I loved spending time with older people. And more recently, I became a journalist and a writer and author and stepped away from my aging background. And in my dream, I realized I can combine the both. I can combine my love for writing and my love for spending time with older people. And as I become older, I feel like it's helping me, too, come to terms with my own aging. And so for personal reasons and professional reasons, I just think this is a wonderful fit.
Well, Leah Dopkin, thank you so much for coming in and telling us about Legacy Letters.
Oh, you're welcome.
Writer Leah Dopkin is the founder of Legacy Letters. She's also a former reporter for Milwaukee Magazine and author of the book Soul of a Port, The History and Evolution of the Port of Milwaukee. She'll be doing a workshop on Legacy Letters at the Shorewood Senior Center on May 17th and 24th and speaking at Congregation Shalom in Milwaukee on May 19th. She spoke with Stephanie Lecce. Keep listening in just a moment, how the budget situation in Madison changed the storyline for a Milwaukee filmmaker. This is Lake Effect from WUWM.